In Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Are we glad we're here? Are we here for the right reason this morning? To praise and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. In Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 12, which will be my text this morning, because we want to focus on that Jesus Christ, he's not in the tomb. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. So we see here that Jesus Christ was risen. The two angels, they asked, why seek ye the living among the dead? What are we seeking? What are you seeking? What are you looking for in this life? You young people, you Sunday school children this morning, what are you looking for? What are you living for? What are you striving for? And what about you middle-aged or you young couples that are just starting a family? What are you looking for? What are you looking for? Are you looking for fame? Are you looking for fortune? Are you wanting to become rich? Or what are you looking for? What about our middle-aged people? Or our seniors? What are we looking for? Are we trying to make a name for ourselves here? Or are we looking for Jesus? Are we looking for that Savior that died for you and me? John 17, 24, he says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Is that what we're looking for? To be where he is? That they may behold my glory. Not our glory, but their, his glory. That's why we are created, to glorify our Father in heaven. Our Savior that died for us. We're not here to glorify ourselves or to make a name for ourselves. We're to glorify God, to make a name for Jesus Christ. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world, and he loved you and me before we were even born. In Psalm 33, verse 8, Psalm 33, 8. Psalm 33, 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. How many of us ever use that word awesome? Probably quite a few of us have used that word awesome. We're to stand in awe of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? Why is that so important? Because he was the one. They didn't capture him on the day of Good Friday. He didn't try to get away. He stood there and he said, "Come and get me." He gave himself for you. How many of the sins that were nailed to the cross are yours? And how many of them are mine? And if he would not have taken yours or my sins, where would we be? Think of it. What kind of a respect should we have for this Jesus that went to the cross so that you could, I could live? In Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10, I won't read the whole account, but there's a man, his name was Zacchaeus. And he had heard about this Jesus. And we've all heard about this Jesus. And we maybe believe that there is a Jesus. And this Zacchaeus had heard about this Jesus. And he was curious. He wanted to see this man. But he was only a short little guy. So he couldn't look above the crowd of people that were thronging around Jesus as he was walking. But he knew that if he kept walking down that path, he would walk down that path, and there was a tree that he could climb, and he would climb up that tree, and he would sit on that tree just so he could get a glimpse of this Jesus, even if nothing else, but he just wanted to see who this man was. So he climbed up that tree, and he sat there, and he waited for this crowd of people to pass by, and he just wanted to look at Jesus. He thought maybe that would be enough. But what did Jesus do? He stopped right there. And he says, "Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down from that tree. I want to come to your house. Because you're a sinner. And I came and I died for you. And I want to save your soul. I want to tell you what it means to love me and to follow me and to be obedient to me. And I want to tell you the story of salvation." And Zacchaeus came down, and his whole family became Christians that day. He looked for Jesus. He was seeking Jesus. He first of all just wanted to see him, but then he found out that he wanted to know him. He wanted to be his best friend. Is Jesus your best friend? Or is he just a stranger that you've heard about, that you talk about? Or is he a friend, a best friend that you tell all your struggles and your problems and your joys? That's what Jesus wants. He wants that relationship. He just doesn't want you to know about him, but he wants to have a relationship with you because he rose, he died, and he ascended, and he sent the Holy Spirit just for you and me. That's why he did it. That was his mission. He wasn't here to make a name for himself. He was here to save us from ourselves and our sinful nature. John 15:11. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Do we have joy in our hearts? Some of us live hard lives. Things happen in our life, and we just don't understand why. But do we still have joy? Because this joy that he's talking about is inside. It has nothing to do with circumstances. The joy that we're supposed to have in our heart is because we know it doesn't matter what happens to us. We know at the end of our life here, when our last breath is taken, we will be with Jesus. He tells us in Corinthians that we will be raised the same way that Jesus Christ was raised. Our bodies may lie in the grave for 30, 40, 50 years or 100 years, but when that trumpet sounds, our bodies will be raised and united with our soul, and we will be in heaven with Jesus. That's the joy that we have, or should have, if we know him. In John chapter 4, verse 36, and I'm pretty sure I've probably used this verse here before, but it doesn't really matter. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Each one of you is sowing a seed. It doesn't matter if it's a good seed or a bad seed, but you're sowing seeds every day of your life. Are you sowing seeds for Jesus? When people watch you, are they being drawn to Jesus? Or are they being pulled away by the seeds that we're sowing? Because somebody's going to gather those seeds one day, and they're going to reap what we've sown. So we need to sow the seeds that Jesus has sown into us when we got to know him. Because this Jesus Christ is going to live for all eternity, and so will we. If we believe in Jesus or not, we're going to live for all eternity. But where are we going to live? What kind of seeds are we sowing so that when our harvest comes in, our reaper comes and gathers the seeds, where will he have to put those seeds? Will he have to put them on the good pile or on the pile that's going to be burnt? Because we will gather, those seeds will be gathered. And we need to make sure that what we do is all glorifying to our Heavenly Father, to the seeds that we're sowing, the service that we're giving. We can do all the right things. We can glorify God with our mouths, and we can worship with our mouths, and we can do all the right things with our actions. What's in here is what matters. Because there's only 12 inches between your heaven and hell. Did you know that? There's only 12 inches between heaven and hell. Because you can have all the head knowledge about Jesus Christ. You can know this whole Bible off by heart. But if you don't know how Jesus Christ in your heart, you're lost. So there's only 12 inches from here to here. Think about it. Are we genuine Christians? If we're obedient to Christ and we try to follow him, we are going to be messengers of Jesus Christ. Like he tells us in John chapter 15, verse 16. John 15, 16. Ye have not chosen me. I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. So it's not just the ministers that are ordained to be fruitful. It's also you as Christians. So that's why it's so important that the seeds that we sow, what our children see us do in church or out of church, that it always draws them closer to Christ. In John chapter 3, verse 16, I bet you every one of you know this one off by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. might. Why does that word might there? Why doesn't it say that all the world will be saved? Because the word might is there because not everybody accepts the gift that God has given us. And what is that gift? That gift is Jesus Christ. He gave us his son. He took his son and he put him on this earth. And he said, now you go and do my will. That's what he did. That's God's grace, is his son, Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 4, verse 10, 1 Peter 4, verse 10. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What gift is he talking about? He's talking about the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of salvation. Each one of you has been given that gift. God handed it to you. Have you taken it? He's handed you that gift. And then what does he want us to do with it? He doesn't want us to keep it for ourselves. It's not for selfish use. It's not just saying, okay, now I have it. I'm not going to tell anybody else about it. I'm just going to live my life as if nobody knows, nobody's supposed to know that I have salvation. It's not that way. He wants us to spread it around. He says here in verse 10, even so minister the same one to another. As good stewards. What's a good steward? A good steward is what he does what the father wants him to do, or the manager or the boss wants him to do. That's a good steward. And we're all stewards of what God has given us, Jesus Christ. It's something that we should be excited to give. In 1 Peter 5, verse 5, he says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Have you ever read that part in Scripture where it says, the foolishness of the world, or the wisdom of the world is foolishness to God? See, there's many smart people in this world. Like I said, we have a lot of head knowledge. But we need to humble ourselves. We have to admit who we really are before God. If we don't admit who we are before God, if we think we are somebody that we don't need salvation, he can't use us. He wants us to be humble before him and admit that we need Jesus Christ, because we can't save ourselves. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, it says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. See, Jesus Christ gave up everything. He was with God before he became man. But he was willing to give that all up. He had the golden streets, he had the pearly gates, he had everything that he needed, and everything that we're striving for, he had it all, and he gave it all up to come down to this earth to live like me and you. He was tempted the way you and I live. He got hungry the way you and I do. He got weak. He got tired. He did everything the way we do. Why did he do that? Because he loved us. So he became poor so that we can become rich. And it has nothing to do with money or material possessions. It has what we have in here. We have that eternal life. That's what makes us rich. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, he says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Did Jesus do enough? Do we have to do something else yet to finish the plan of salvation? Jesus said just before he died, "It is finished." We can't do anything more. We can't buy it. We can't work for it. We have to accept it. That's all we need to do. And then we need to live it. And that's the hardest part to do. Because everywhere we go in this world, we are being told, "Oh no, you don't need to do that." Because the world says you need to be on this wide road. Then you can have fun. Everywhere I look all the time in today's world, I see live life to the fullest. What does that mean? Does that mean we have to stand on this wide road and take part of everything that the world offers? We're going through baptism classes in winter, and we talked about this last week, about that wide road. There's a young man in our baptism classes, he's been on that wide road. He's lived a life. So I asked him the question, "So did you live life to the fullest?" He said, "I thought I did." Till I saw the light. Jesus died to get us off that road. He did everything. Absolutely everything. He gave everything. In Acts chapter 15, 11, But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. The grace, an unmerited gift, or a gift that we don't deserve. That's what we live for, or should be living for. And then in Romans chapter 5, verse 15, Romans 5, 15, it says, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." So we were all put into the same basket when Adam sinned. There's nobody in this world that's ever been born, besides Jesus Christ, that has been born perfect without sin. We're all in the same basket of sin. But then Jesus died for us, and he paid the price for your sin and for my sin. And then he said, "Now all you need to do is recognize that you are a sinner and accept the gift that I'm giving you. And then you can get out of that basket." But until you don't believe that, until you believe that you're self-righteous enough, you're good enough, You're going to be a good person. You're not going to swear. You're not going to drink. You're not going to smoke. You're not going to do drugs. You're not going to commit adultery. You're not going to commit fornication. I'm just going to live a perfect life. Then I will be good enough to go to heaven. No, you won't. If you do not have Jesus Christ, you have nothing. That's why he died. For our sins. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 8, Ephesians 1, 3 to 8, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Do you feel blessed? Do you feel joy? Do you feel at peace? In 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians 15. One to eight. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. What's the gospel? The gospel is the plan of salvation. The good news that we have, that we are forgiven, if we accept what Jesus Christ did. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It's all in here. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. See, our faith, the Christian faith, this is the center of it. What we're celebrating this weekend. His birth is important. The world makes a much bigger deal out of Christmas than what it does out of Easter. But without the cross, the birth is in vain. Without the resurrection, the crucifixion wouldn't have helped anything either. Without the ascension, we wouldn't have any power. Because then Jesus Christ would have had to stay here. But he ascended. And he told us that he would send us a comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit lives within us if we believe. It is that same Holy Spirit that gave Jesus Christ the power to stand up out of that grave and walk out of that tomb. It's that Holy Spirit that's in here. If we believe. So if we believe, there's no reason that we can't be joyful. In Romans chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. Romans 8, 10 and 11. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Do you know that you are declared righteous because of what Jesus Christ did for you? But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. That same Spirit. So we should never doubt about us being raised again, because it tells us right here, it's that same Spirit that is going to raise us up when Jesus calls. Now I want to leave you with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren and sisters, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That foundation has been laid. The price has been paid. Are we standing on it? And if we are, stay steadfast, unmovable. In other words, sometimes we have to be a little bit stubborn. That's okay. It's for the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for what you did on the cross. We want to thank you for your great love for us. We pray that you will guide us and that you will guide this congregation into all truth, and that we may all one day be together with you in that heavenly mansions that you have prepared for each one of us. May your Spirit lead us and guide us. In the name of Jesus, amen. And I just thought of it. I have an announcement of application for membership. The name is Anton and Helen Hebert of Woodhaven Avenue, Steinbach. They have applied for membership in the Somerfelt Mennonite Church. They have been visited by Reverend Henry Friesen and Cal Hebert, who recommend their acceptance. If anyone has a valid reason to oppose this request for membership, then please contact your local ministerial. And I'd also like to give each one of you the opportunity to go on bended knee and bring anything before our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that lies on your heart, be it a petition or praise, whatever. But let's kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead.
Good morning. Just one announcement I'd like to make here this morning. I was asked by the family of Tony and Helen Hebert. Prayer requests. I should have maybe done that before we knelt for a word of prayer, and I just want to encourage us that we still remember them in our prayers. I will read it the way it has been given. They have both been ill lately with the flu and head colds. Mr. Tony Hebert had to start using oxygen this week. Every time he coughs or sneezes, he dislocates multiple ribs, which in return causes a lack of breathing capability. It is difficult for them. Please pray. And so this morning I just got a message that he has been taken to the St. Anne emergency this morning, just a few hours ago. And another one is also pray for Dennis and Edna Dirksen. Edna, of course, is a daughter to Tony and Helen. Her husband Dennis's health is gradually decreasing, and a medical system has set up their home for palliative care. I want to encourage us all as brothers and sisters in the Lord that we remember them in our prayers, and God will have his way. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Let's bow for the benediction. I want to thank you for coming this morning. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace from now and forevermore. Amen. And have a blessed Easter.